Now for our scripture reading this morning, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 15 through 20. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1024, Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. These six verses we'll read responsively in page 1024 in the Schofield Bible. Shall we please stand? Everyone standing for the reading of God's Word. Once again, reading the verses responsively. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This 19th verse is the text verse. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And let's pray. Lord, you've been so good to meet with us from Sunday to Sunday, from week to week. And in weeks and months and years gone by, thou hast met with us in this place. We come again with needs that are real, with some problems that are new, some problems yet existing from weeks and months gone by. We come, some of us, with heavy hearts. We come, some of us, with needs that go beyond our comprehension as to how they will be met. But we come, meet with us, help us. Touch every life and every heart. Bless the preaching, the preacher, and every listener in Jesus' name. Amen.
Last Wednesday night as I was teaching, I came to the 19th verse of the 18th chapter of Matthew, and I taught it. I had never seen it like that because I was studying the words of the Bible, a few of the words in the Greek language, and I'd never seen Matthew 18:19 exactly like that. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask it; it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And I call to your attention the word "agree" there is from the word "symphonize," which means if two people symphonize while touching anything on earth, they shall ask for it. It's done in heaven. And the word symphonize means to tune. That means you've got to have a third instrument. If two instruments that are a little out of tune will tune themselves to the one instrument that is in tune, then they can ask what they will, and it shall be given them. Doesn't mean that two folks can get together and ask for a new Cadillac or a new house, and you'll get it. It means that if two people are in tune with the one who's in tune, and that's the Savior, then if we tune ourselves to Him, then we ask what we will, because we're in perfect tune or perfect harmony with Him, and then it shall be given. I went back to my study, and I got thinking about that. Every problem that we have is caused by being out of tune with the one who's in perfect tune. Every burden, the situation in Iran, the situation in Afghanistan, down to your own personal problems, all of our problems, all of our disagreements, all of our heartaches are caused by the fact that we are out of tune with him who is perfect pitch. And this morning, I want to talk to you about that verse. You'll have to listen carefully. if you don't follow carefully, I don't think you'll get much of the message. I love music. I love to hear the young couple sing that sang a while ago. She's the only one in the house fanning now because she's the only one that's hot. But if I got up that high, I'd be hot too. And she's been on a high here this morning. But I love music. I enjoyed the men a while ago. I enjoyed the choir special. I enjoyed all the music today. If I have one thing in life that could make me up, if I were to get a little bit bitter about something I missed in life, it'd be because I can't sing. There's one other thing I'm about to get bitter about too. But really, honestly, I love music. Good night. I love it. Music is, well, it's the language of the soul. And I love it. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, in tune with Jesus. That's what it means. Where two on earth are in tune, in harmony, in symphony with the great tuner, then we ask what we want and it should be given us. Our Heavenly Father, I need the attention of my people this morning a little more than usual because they'll have to follow me a little more carefully, I think. And I pray today that each of us shall tune himself anew to him who is the one in perfect pitch. May we join in a beautiful symphony with the song of the ages today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's hard for us to comprehend this, but it's true. There was a day when everything in creation was musical. Everything. Now, the psalmist David one time said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." It's hard for us to understand exactly how that a hippopotamus could praise the Lord, or how a baboon could praise the Lord. But you know, and now don't leave me. The truth is that at the dawn of creation, the Bible says the morning stars sang together. Oh, I know what my old professor said in school. He said, "Well, those morning stars are symbolic of angels that sang." Well, it didn't say that in the Bible. It says the morning stars sang together when the foundation was laid for the world. Now, folks, we'll know one day, and I think that's one of the most outstanding things about the future, is that we'll get one day to hear it as it was then, when everything in the universe, I'm talking about the grass of the field, I'm talking about the stars of the heavens, I'm talking about the beast of the field, I'm talking about the wind and the trees that join in a duet and form a stringed instrument. I'm talking about the fact that it's hard for us to comprehend that there was a time when everything was musical. Everything. I don't mean just harmony. I mean everything made music. There was a time when the entire universe was in harmony, in making music, in praise and glory to our great God. The entire creation was perfectly tuned to the Lord Jesus. The universe was a musical portfolio. The animals of the field had perfect pitch. The wind joined the leaves to provide a stringed instrument. The morning stars modulated, while meteors added a sweet refrain. Birds formed a feathered choir. The waves of the sea poured forth hymn-like melody. Angelic choirs joined in melodious croak of the frog and the perfect harmony of the coyote's howl, the dog's bark, and the cat's meow. And everything in the universe sang and played musically to our God. The four living creatures, full of eyes, unrolled their overture as they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Other worlds serenaded the earth. The Bible says that the planets, the other worlds, made music. Stars made music. Animals made music. Flowers made music. Plant life made music. Grass made music. Trees made music. The winds made music. And all of this music was in tune to Him who is the song of the ages, as the entire universe joined together in melodious harmony, in tune with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Handel's Messiah, and Beethoven's Mount of Olives, and Mendelssohn's Elijah, and Haydn's Creation, all are but religious rock in comparison with this mighty anthem of the universe. Literally, earnestly, honestly, music came from everything that God had made. I do not know exactly how the stars sang, but they did sing. I do not understand exactly what kind of praise that the serpent gave, but the serpent did give a perfect melodious sound as all of creation and all the universe joined in singing. The sun and the moon praised Him. The stars of light praised Him. The water above the heavens praised Him. The dragons praised Him. The mountains sang the bass clef, while the wind sounded the treble clef. The hills and fruitful trees and cedars praised Him. The beast and all the cattle praised Him. The creeping things and the flying fowl praised Him. The vapor and the clouds praised Him. The tree branches pointed to Jesus and praised Him. The sun shone upon Him while it sang, as all of heaven sounded a cadence of praise to Jesus. Pleiades and Orion were great cymbals pounding together the praise and glory of Jesus in perfect pitch and perfect harmony. Cherubim played the psaltery, and seraphim played the harp, while heavenly hosts praised Him with the timbrel and the dance. Angels praised Him with the sound of the trumpet, with the stringed instruments, and with the organs. And they all joined together and did what they're supposed to. Hey, did you know everything that God ever made was made to praise His wonderful Son? Everything. God made the animals of the field to praise His name. God made the wind of the air to praise His name. God made the stars and the meteors to praise His name. God made the creeping things to praise His name. God made the fish of the sea to praise His name. And by the way, God made man to praise His name. God didn't make your tongue to sing some kind of heathen rock. God didn't make your tongue to sound forth some kind of a sensuous kind of music. God didn't make your song, your tongue and your lips to sing the modern disco garbage. God made you to praise Him. Your lips were made for praise of the King of Kings. Your tongue was made to exalt the King of Kings. Your hands were made to clap praises to the King of Kings. Your feet and knees were made to bow before the King of Kings. And this morning, if you are not serving Him, if you are not praising Him, then you are prostituting that part of your body which is not being used to the praise of our wonderful Lord. And they joined in singing. Are you listening? And they joined in singing the great eternal praises of our God. Maybe they sang blessing and honor and power and majesty and might be unto Him that sitteth on the throne. Or maybe they sang holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Or maybe they sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Or maybe they sang, a mighty fortress is our God. Or maybe they sang, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. And all of a sudden, there was a discordant note. A voice sounded out of tune. A string from heaven's harp was snapped. All of a sudden, for the first time ever, there was discord. In the great symphony of the universe, something was out of tune. A harsh, discordant sound of sin had stopped the universal celebration. And now the stars no longer sing. And now the trees no longer clap their hands. And now the wind no longer whistles praise to Jesus. And now the beasts of the field no longer exalt Him. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, S-I-N, sin, always brings the discordant note. Now, the bird, the wind howls, and the serpent hisses, and the ocean roars, and the wind chills, and the sun burns, and the beast destroys, and the meteors fall, and the owl hoots, and the dog barks, and the wolf howls, and the morning stars are mute, and the grass dies, and the flower fades, and the cymbals, and the timbrels, and the psaltery, and the organ, and the sackbut, and the harp are suddenly silenced. Why? All because a creature got out of tune. All of earth's wars are caused because man is not in tune with his Creator. All of earth's troubles are caused because man is out of tune with his Creator. Let me ask you a question this morning. Young people, let me ask you a question. Are you in tune with God? Are you in tune with God? Are you in tune in harmony with God's will and God's purpose for your life? Then you have no chance at happiness. Are you in tune with God? I'll say this. You will never find peace. You can try anything the world has to offer, buddy, but you'll never find peace that you are rightly in tune with the King of Kings and the Song of the Ages. You never will. You can blame the hypocrites in the church if you want to, but that's not your trouble. The trouble is you're out of tune with God. You can blame the preacher if you want to and say that somebody was not friendly, or the church is getting too big, or the church is not like it used to be, and so you go into sin. But your trouble is not church hypocrites, and your trouble is not the size of the church. Your trouble is you are out of tune with Jesus. And you will never have peace. You can never be blessed, nor find peace and sweet rest. All on the altar is laid. This morning, what you need to do is come at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, put me in tune with You. May I symphonize with You so I may have the joy and the peace of Christ in my soul. Your trouble is that you're out of tune. And that discordant note is sin. You're out of tune with the living Christ. You're an instrument made for heaven, but sin has broken its strings. You need the Almighty Spirit to tune you. You see, your trouble is, well, somebody wasn't nice. No, your trouble is, your neglect of this book has made you out of tune. Your trouble is, your neglect of the prayer closet has made you out of tune. Your trouble is, your failure to give God the tithe has put you out of tune. Your trouble is, the liquor bottle on your shelf at home has put you out of tune. Your trouble is, that beer bottle or beer can in your icebox has put you out of tune. Your trouble is, those pell-mells or lucky strikes in your shirt pocket have put you out of tune. Your trouble is, your tongue that has been used for slander and gossip and criticism has broken your fellowship with God. You're out of tune with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Song of the Ages. And you're not in tune with Him. And that's why you're unhappy. And that's why you're critical. And that's why you have your nervous breakdown. And that's why you have your heartache. And that's why you have your trouble. You are not in tune with God. And nothing out of tune with God is happy. It's not fulfilling its purpose. TV soap opera will go. That unrestrained tongue will go. Those Hollywood movies will go. That jealous heart will go. That lustful mind will go. Children, young people, listen to me. It'll go. That pride will go. That critical nature will go. Oh, let me tell you, from the smallest child in this room to the oldest tottering adult, senior citizen here this morning, you were made to tune your life with Jesus. And if you're out of tune, that thing is missing. Will never be filled until you come. You can play your off-key instrument all you want to, but all of heaven knows you're out of tune. And you'll be discordant until you tune yourself to a wood instrument called the cross of Calvary. When you kneel beside the wood instrument that is in perfect pitch and attune yourself to Calvary's cross and the Christ on that cross. Modern philosophy cannot tune you because it was not its absence that snapped the string. Liberal theology cannot tune you because it was not its absence that snapped the string and put you out of off key. The power of positive thinking of Mr. Peel cannot cure you because it was not the presence or the absence of positive thinking that broke the string. It was S-I-N, sin, that broke the string and caused the discordant note. Modern educators cannot cure you or tune you, because it was not their absence that caused the string to break. Human psychologists cannot cure you because it was not their absence that caused the string to break. It probably was their presence that caused the string to break. Church confessionals cannot cure you because it was not their absence that caused the string to break. Religious sacraments cannot cure you because it was not their absence that caused the string to break. You college rebels, enjoy staying just inside the rules or bucking the system. You think you're smart. You think you're cute. You're not. You're a dirty sinner. That's what you are. You need to tune yourself with Jesus and you'll love to keep the rules. You high school rebels, breaking the rules of the high school, signed an agreement that you wouldn't listen to rock music when you went to high school. If you listen to it, you're a dirty liar. Your trouble is you're not in tune with Jesus. I don't care who you are. You sailors back there, you can have all the fun on past this so-called fun you want to, but you'll not find the peace that feels, that passeth all understanding and fills the human heart till you properly tune yourself to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You rescue mission men here, you will not find what you're looking for in your life until your heart is in tune with Jesus, the great tuning fork of the ages. The same is true for every young person here. The same is true for every adult. What's wrong with this old sin-cursed world if we've not tuned ourselves with Jesus? We've tuned ourselves to the United Nations. We've tuned ourselves to modern psychology. We've tuned ourselves to the dirty ERA business. We've tuned ourselves every kind of filth and garbage and Mr. Spock's pagan philosophy and all the rest of it. And the old world rocks and reels this morning because we've never stopped our off-key discordant notes to stop and realize that it's Jesus that plays the tune that the lamp of the world needs. What you need to do is come to an old-fashioned altar and get on your knees and listen to the music of Calvary and tune yourself to that music. Turn from your sin that ruins your chords and join in singing, "Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song." When I was a kid, 17 years of age, on my 17th birthday, I weighed 93 pounds. Built sort of like these sailors back here. And I weighed 93 pounds on my 17th birthday. All of a sudden that year I began to grow. For the first time, girls began to notice me. They've been noticing me ever since. How peculiar I look and so forth. But girls began to notice me. And all of a sudden I was big enough to do things I couldn't do before. And I got in the wrong crowd. Never took a drink of liquor. Never went to deep sin, but I got in the wrong crowd. I was always the little boy that all the other guys didn't like, because the mothers would say, "Jackie boy goes to prayer meeting, why don't you go to prayer meeting?" And all the boys wanted to stick my eyeballs with ice picks because they hated little Jackie boy. I was the one their mother threw up to them. And all of a sudden I grew up during my senior year of high school. And people were nice to me who had never been nice before. And doors were open to me that had never been opened before. And though I never went into deep sin, I got in the wrong crowd. I never drank, but I ran with the drinking crowd. I never smoked, but I ran with the smoking crowd. I never was immoral, but it was with the immoral crowd. And the church got worried about me. And the Sunday school teacher began to pray for me. I was out of tune with Jesus. I was off key. My note was discordant. My string was broken. And I recall they'd pray for me, and I couldn't understand why. One of my teachers came and said, "Jack, we've been praying for you." And I said, "Pray for sinners. Don't pray for me." It's a funny thing. We know we're discordant, but we don't like to admit it. We know we're not right with God, but we don't like to face it. "Pray for sinners. Don't pray. What's wrong with me?" Just like some of you teenagers saying right now, "What's wrong with me? What? You know what's wrong with you." You know better than anybody else, and I knew better than anybody else. I remember that morning, afternoon, a little lady, Mrs. Skeeter was her name. She came by my house. We lived across the street from the church, and she was walking to church, and I was out in the yard playing ball. She said, "Jack, could I say a word to you?" And I walked over, and I said, "What is it, Mrs. Skeeter?" And she said, "Jacqueline," her daughter, she said, "Jacqueline and I are praying for you." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Jack, I know something's wrong. You're not the Jack you used to be. I know it's not what it ought to be." And I said, "Nothing wrong with me. I go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night." She said, "Jack, something's wrong." And that pricked my soul, just like some of you are having your soul pricked right now. I was out of key. I was not in tune with the great song and the great tuning fork of eternity, the Lord Jesus. I went to church on a given Sunday, and the pastor preached about like I'm preaching this morning. And all of a sudden, God began to speak to me. And I sang my note as I listened carefully to his, whose note I'd not heard for some time. And I noticed that was off key. He rang his note true, and mine was discordant. And I realized that I was not in tune with Jesus. And all of a sudden, I walked down the aisle, and I said to my pastor, Brother Sizemore, "I'm so glad God didn't let me do anything real bad, but I've been out of the will of God. I've been backslidden." I knelt to pray at the altar, and God forgave me, and once again, the tune was like his, and I was in tune with Jesus. And never forget it, the choir was singing what I sang a while ago, what I quoted a while ago. "Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song." Folks, listen to me now, I'm through. Everybody in the house, look at me. Everybody look at me. You can fool your mom, kids. You can fool your teacher. But you can't fool your God and you can't fool yourself. There are two people who know you're out of key. One's you, one's God. You know it. I got a note on my desk right now. Written to one of our teenage boys. To a girl. The boy didn't come by to see me. He's going to be kicked out of school. Wrote the note. He said, I know what Brother Howes is going to tell you. Don't obey your parents. Little bum. I said, little bum. Little thug. Anybody that tells you not to obey your parents is of Satan, not of God. And nobody who's wrong with mom and dad is in tune with Jesus Christ. He said, I know what Brother Howes is going to tell you. Who feeds you? Who clothes you? I know what he's going to tell you. Yeah, punk, he's going to tell you what's right every time. Yeah, he is. He really is. Oh, let me tell you, you go ahead and laugh and sneer and scoff, but you know the Bible says there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. None. None. He who was made for God will never be happy without God. He whose heart was made as God's dwelling place will never be happy till God sits on that throne. He whose eyes were made to feast on this book will never be happy till his eyes feed on this book. He whose ears were made to hear the things of God will not be happy till those ears hear the things of God. He whose feet were made to trod the path of God's will not be happy till his feet are treading the paths of God's will. He whose tongue was made to sing praises to Jesus will not be happy till that tongue is doing what it was made to do, and that is singing praises to Jesus. The world's counterfeit. The devil's a liar. Television's wrong. Hollywood's wrong. It does not bring peace. Crown of your head to the sole of your feet, you were made to glorify our God. And that of you which is not glorifying Him and causes you to be out of tune with Him will never let you be at peace until you have stopped, as the violinist does before he plays. Ding, ding, ding. Hit me a key there on the piano. Hit on the organ. Ding, ding. And the key hits. And the violinist plucks his string. A little bit off. Hit it again, please. He plucks his string again. And the tuned ear of that master musician. Hit it again, please. I cannot tell it's off. And you cannot tell it's off. But he who's mastered that instrument will not be satisfied until there's perfect harmony and perfect tune. And he who made you will not be satisfied, nor were you made by him be happy until you said, Jesus, hit it again. Again, Jesus. Then you can fall at his feet and say, Jesus, as far as I know, I'm in tune with you.